people will sit in jail for the week. What we're hoping the result of that is that the week following the blackout period is frankly a mess for the courts. That provincial court list is overloaded the following week, thereby, frankly, getting the attention of judges who will hopefully start to complain and then get the attention of the government. The idea is to sort of quash our 4 weeks of work into 3 weeks of work, thereby disrupting the system a little bit. It's supposed to be provincial and Supreme Court job action. So if you've got a matter in Supreme Court and you've agreed to withdraw your services in accordance with the blackouts, that you'd also be, the lawyers would also be withdrawing their services in Supreme Court. We're hoping and trying to get the family bar also on board. They seem to be supportive. One of the things that we are concerned about is that if criminal practitioners withdraw their services for those blackout periods, the judicial case managers who handle all the scheduling in court could just backfill that with family matters. So it's important that if there are any family practitioners here, that you're aware of our job action and hopefully support us. We're also going to be reaching out to the civil bar so that the civil bar will support us as well. We have canvassed the various jurisdictions. I can tell you who's on board with our job action: Vancouver, Richmond, Surrey, North Vancouver, Nanaimo, Victoria, Kamloops, and smaller jurisdiction of Belmont, Mackenzie's on board. We've reached out to Abbotsford and Port Coquitlam, and we're waiting for those lawyers to get back to us with respect to their responses. Thank you.
Well, I guess what I have to say will dovetail on many things that you've already heard. At least that's my hope. I practice almost exclusively in provincial court, and the numbers of self-represented litigants in provincial court are markedly different from what we've heard in the Supreme Court. And these are numbers that came out of the Chief Justice's office, so they're quite reliable. 40% of criminal litigants in British Columbia's provincial courts are unrepresented. That's a staggering amount, 40%. And unlike in Supreme Court, I don't think that they do this by choice. They do this because they don't qualify for legal aid. And we'll get, I'll probably have a little bit more specifics as to why they couldn't get legal aid. It gets even more depressing on the civil side. In BC's provincial court, on the civil side, 90% of the litigants are self-represented. And if that's not depressing enough, there's family, 95%. And if, generally speaking, if one side's represented and the other isn't, we can be pretty sure most of the time it will be the woman who doesn't have a lawyer. So this is the reality of where most of the cases in BC actually take place, that the overwhelming numbers of people are there without a lawyer. I don't have the number in my head at the moment, but as to how many cases are tried in provincial courts in BC versus the Supreme Court, but it's in the high 90s. I think it's 96% get dealt with in provincial court. So that's really the heart of the situation. So many people are unrepresented, and that's what judges have to deal with every day. And Anthony and I just get to represent some of the people who are lucky enough to qualify. So let me just shock you even more as to what the financial eligibility cutoffs are, and they are so on the family and on the criminal side. If you are a single person in British Columbia, it doesn't matter geographically, whether it's Mandahoof or Vancouver, if you make more than $1,480 a month gross, you are expected to pay for your own lawyer. Just do the arithmetic. A single mom in BC, if she makes more than $2,070 a month gross, and there's an access issue with her children, she doesn't need a lawyer. The numbers go on and on. If a three-person family, the monthly income exceeds $2,670, you are representing yourself. So I have just today received numbers as to how BC fares in terms of our per capita spending on legal aid. And we're not doing well Canada, compared to other provinces and territories in Canada. So at the very bottom, spending even less than BC, is New Brunswick, PEI, and by a small margin, Alberta. They spend $12.64 per person on legal aid. BC spends $13.51 on legal aid. Bigger spenders than us are Quebec, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, $18.49, Nova Scotia, $19.51, Ontario, $21.08, Newfoundland, $23.08. And then the territories up north spend much more than that, obviously, because of the geographical challenges. The Nunavut spends $201 per person on legal aid. So that's where we're how we're comparing to the rest of Canada. What does it mean when people, when the majority of people in our courts, for the majority of cases, are unrepresented? First of all, let me just say that for those of us who might think that unrepresented accused in provincial court, aside from the problems that Anthony has highlighted, that nothing much is going to happen to them, not so. 70% of them are found guilty, and of those, over a third go to jail. No lawyer. That really is shocking. So I have a solution to the government's insistence that we don't have any money for legal aid. And I acknowledge that there are national and international pressures on governments everywhere. First of all, of course, there is the matter of the $147 million that the government collected last year on legal fees that both parties of this of our province, at one point or another, have insisted goes to a fund, should go to fund legal aid, and never, not for a moment, has it gone to legal aid. It has always ended up in general revenue. And now our government says that despite the $147 million, we don't have any money for legal aid. So let me say that the actual money that came out of our provincial government's pockets, I guess, to fund legal aid last year in BC was $61.5 million. So it's more than twice the amount they collect that is not being spent on legal aid. I have another solution to the problem as to how we can finance legal aid adequately, and that's give everybody a lawyer and get rid of the civil of the underrepresented litigants. I am very, very indebted to Sharon Matthews from the Canadian Bar Association. She has written and compiled two brilliant papers that are, I'm sure, very easily accessible through the Canadian Bar Association. And she just has painstakingly gone through the amount of money it costs, or a good estimate as to how much it costs to nurse all these unrepresented litigants through our courts when really they are not equipped to do so. So first of all, as you can imagine, if you just look at the money, there's a tremendous amount of court time wasted because people just don't know how to do things, nor should they. It's sort of, just imagine this whole thing in the medical field. You know, you're sent to the hospital, but we can't afford for a doctor, so you get a manual, a pamphlet that tells you when to stand up and when to sit down, but that's really not effective. So in any event, Sharon Matthews took studies that there are studies from common law countries, all of them actually, many of them, that have quantified how much it costs to have people unrepresented in court. I grant you that all these studies are not in the criminal context, but in the civil context, but we can assume that the principles are the same. So conservative accounting firms have just assumed that there is a delay of 20% if an unrepresented accused represents themselves versus a person who's represented by counsel. Now, for those of us who are in court, that's ridiculous, really. It has to be several times the amount of time an unrepresented litigant uses court time. Judges have to explain everything. They have to explain the rules of evidence. There are so many adjournments. There are so many more court appearances for unrepresented people because they're trying so often to just get a lawyer somehow. So that if we're assuming there's a delay of 20%, then that is extremely conservative. But just let's go with the 20%. Sharon Matthews does the arithmetic for us. She says, we know how much a provincial court judge costs. That's public knowledge. We know how much a court clerk costs. We know how much it costs to keep the lights running in a courtroom. We know how much a sheriff costs. We know how much a crown costs. And she quantified how much we're spending in British Columbia's courts, how much more court time we're spending if we're assuming that all these unrepresented litigants are wasting 20% of court time. And she comes up with the very conservative amount of, we're wasting $50 million a year just because these unrepresented people are spending way too much court time than if they had a lawyer. So I say, give all these unrepresented people a lawyer through legal aid. Give legal aid the $50 million. We've solved all of our problems, and the court system will run more efficiently. Works for me. apparently, the government doesn't see it so. The government insists that there have to be absolutely. There have to be more studies. So that's probably not going to be happening anytime soon. We have already heard of the Doust Commission on Legal Aid. The commissioner says that we're failing even the most, failing British Columbians in even their most basic legal needs. And when it comes to his recommendation that legal aid be declared an essential public service, which is really a linchpin of his report. Very often critics say that, well, the public's really isn't behind that. Not true. Legal Services commissioned an Ipsos Reid report, which I can only assume was occasioned by the commissioner's recommendation that it be declared an essential public service. And in the survey, there was one question: do you support legal aid becoming an essential public service along healthcare, education, and social services? And British Columbians responded, 74% said yes. So the public does understand what it means to be unrepresented in court. The public does understand that when people really do need a lawyer, it's not a frill, that the system isn't designed for us to represent ourselves unless you've gone to law school. And I think it's time for the government to put the money where it should be going. That's what I have to say.